Dan, I got to be honest with you. I am just filled with rage right now.
Rage?
Rage.
Well, that's kind of surprising to hear because looking at you, you look like you're pretty happy and content sitting over there.
That's just a facade. I am just filled with rage, Dan. You just cannot believe.
Wow.
Cannot believe what I had witnessed last week. Oh, and I'm just still upset over this.
Well, I can't wait to hear about it.
I was on a sales call. I went to a hardware store to sell my bundled firewood. And I was speaking with the lady at the counter, and she introduced me to, like, you know, one of the people that can make decisions. And while I was talking to him, I turned to my left, and on their shelf were those little green 1 pound little cans of propane. Have you ever seen those before?
Yes, I have. I actually use them quite often with the little grill that I have.
Yeah, they are like they're made by Coleman.
Yep.
They're green. They got like the threaded thing on top that you can like screw into your like your little your portable grill kind of
yep,
a thing.
Yep, little camping stove.
Yeah. Gosh, I just lost my brain over this. Just lost my brain.
Really?
It is a good thing there was not any, I was not in the firewood poker aisle because I would have probably ripped that out of the wall and started swinging it as a weapon. That's just how mad I was. Can you believe, Dan, that they are selling those 1 pound cans of propane for $8.99?
$8.99.
I can get a 200 gallon tank on the side of my house filled up for like $2.20 a gallon. I was so upset at this that I took one of the green cans and I slammed it on the counter and I said, "You're a ripoff."
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Now I see where the rage is coming from. Yes, indeed.
Because if I'm a ripoff, then he is too. 1 pound of propane, $8.99.
Jeez. $8.99. That is a ripoff.
What a ripoff. Jeez. What?
All right, now I understand. I understand the inner rage boiling inside you.
Yeah, that's rage. Yeah. That's rage for you. Yeah, then he told me, he says, why don't you get out of my store, he said.
So you didn't make the sale.
I was like, but you're ripping people off, I said. He goes, if I'm ripping people off, you're ripping people off, he said.
Yeah, I was going to say, you should have said, I have another way for you to rip people off if you're interested.
Yeah, well, okay. That is all just a fictional moment that I played out in my head just because I was trying to sell my bundled firewood. And, you know, there's just way too many examples out there on the criticism that people will throw at a firewooder on YouTube who dares to sell bundled firewood because you're selling 1 cubic foot of firewood, you know, call it out, $5-$10.
Yep.
When that's a ripoff because you can buy an entire third of a cord for $60. What a ripoff.
Right.
Yeah.
A whole truck bed full.
Yeah, but, you know, I would think that the person buying a bundle probably doesn't want a full third of a cord of firewood. Just like the person buying a 1 pound can of propane, maybe they don't need a 20 pound can for a barbecue grill. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Or a 200 pound tank in their backyard.
Or that.
Yes. Yeah, it's hard for a lot of people to see things like that. It's always interesting.
Yeah, I get, your videos stay out there forever on Facebook and on YouTube, and it's a weekly occurrence. where one of these, it's like one of these comments come in and they're just offended about this. And I'm thinking, well, the way that the free market works, if you are not interested in something, you don't buy it.
No, nope, that's
such
not
a novel idea.
That's not how it works.
Not anymore. Well, if it's propane, no one says anything. If it's a bag of mulch, no one says anything. If it's a right. Dr. Pepper, no one says anything. But
I was just going there. Dr. Pepper, soda, everything. Yeah.
But if it is firewood, look out.
Yeah. It's I don't know what it is. And I'm in the same boat, man, now with this mini firewood going. Oh my goodness. Although it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be, because I think people look at it a little different.
Yeah. Well, I would think you would have multiple people mad at you over your small firewood.
Yeah, it's not so much the ripoff. It's more or less, I can get that anywhere next to my campsite. I can just grab some sticks if I want them, you know, but
yeah.
When you're on the 34th floor of your apartment high rise downtown in the urban jungle, you can't just reach out and grab a bunch of sticks.
There you go.
Difference. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the one thing to remember is, especially if you are the retailer or if you're the one selling it, the refrain that I always say is, I am not the customer. You know, I have a friend who works, he's a car salesman at a BMW lot. He doesn't drive BMWs, you know, he is not the customer, you know, his job is to sell them. And I think it's the same way with this, you know, and that's where I'm saying, I think you're going to have two people mad at you on the small firewood. You got the first group who's upset that you're ripping people off because you're selling them a little thimble full of firewood for a severely high markup, number one. And then the other group of people who are going to be furious at you is that you've touched that wood way too many times and now there's no way you can make profit.
Yeah, it's definitely handling too much. And yeah, and those people, you know, they are everywhere. I think when you say what you just said about what was playing in your mind, I think there's more people out there with it playing in their mind that don't say anything.
But let Possible. Me tell you,
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always
well, fun. I think it all falls under that level of rage. And man, when I saw that propane can, I just went off.
Yeah.
I was just a raging lunatic.
I just had like a vision in my mind of, like, you know, in the movies when like the screen kind of gets blurry, so you know you're going into like a dream or an altered reality. that was you standing in line.
Yeah. And then, like, the guy's shaking me. Get a hold of yourself, man. Get a hold of your... It's just a dream.
It's just a firewood bundle. It's just a propane tank.
Yeah. But in my case, the sales opportunity, I was prepared for it, but it didn't go the way that I thought it was going to go. So this is a locally owned hardware store, and there's a bunch of them out there. And when I am thinking of my sales, I try to be professional. I bring my flyer in, my business card. I look good. I bring in a beautiful looking bundle as an example. And I wanted to, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to be talking about how great my firewood is. It's clean. There's no bugs. I'm not going to junk up his sales floor with my stuff. The first thing out of his mouth, the very first thing was, how much? He could have cared less about everything. He just wanted to know how much.
The bottom line. That's his only concern.
Yeah. And that's where I think, you know, like a lot of retailers too. And I think that's where, I don't know, we import our values into other people, you know, where you want to do a good job. You want to serve your community. You want to be an upright public, you know, or a professional servant as a retailer. But at the end of the day, you know, you got to make money. And that was the very first thing was, how much?
How much?
Which I had an answer to him. But, you know, I, of course, want to maximize my position as well.
Right. You want to show why, and, you know, why that, how much he's going to, you know, it's worth. You want to show the value in it, not just get to the bottom line, be done.
Well, that could also tell me too that he maybe just sees firewood as a commodity and not as a value added opportunity. But what I brought in there, you know, it wasn't a dog and pony show. What I brought in was what the firewood would be. It was dry, clean, professionally prepared, you know, stretch wrapped with a label. Looked great.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
but then I got distracted by that 1 pound of propane, and then it went downhill from there.
So you didn't follow up the how much with the not only how much, but from who? Do you know who I am?
That's why he put his wallet in his front pocket when he saw me. Yeah. I think though that is when you walk into a retail place, if you're making a sales call, you got to be ready. You know, you got to put yourself in the shoes of your target and understand what their motivations are, because theirs is maybe different than yours, or they're just understood differently. So I think you just got to be on your toes. But I think it's also important that you be able to read the situation. And I think it goes both ways. You know, like if you are a customer, if you are like raging mad because whatever you bought was broke, or you got ripped off at the cash register, or you have any type of customer service related matter, I think it's just important that, you know, you maybe avoid the rage and, you know, just understand what you want out of it and make that your goal, you know, and then just be ready to negotiate it.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking from the position of an old retailer. I've been on the other side of the counter plenty of time, and I've seen the way people act, you know, in a stressful situation or a frustrating situation. And I don't know, it just seems like to me, I think maybe I could have wrote a book on how to get anything you want from a retailer or from a business, you know, in a customer relations standpoint. I think rage is probably not one of the good ways.
That's not at the top of the list.
Well, are you like, as when you're a customer, and I'm sure, you know, all of us have stories, I guess. Are you the type to like throw fits and, you know, and demand the manager and pounding your fist on the table and stuff?
No, not at all. Never have. Nope. I've seen people like that though.
Oh yeah.
Yep. No, I'm not like that.
Uh-huh. It seems speaking personally here, for 20-ish years, I had my professional career was a very confrontational position. And it was like a daily thing. You know, I was always dealing with personnel matters and people who are usually our employees who are mad or they're going to get terminated. And I'm like, you know, right in the trenches with all of this. I have learned as the older I get, the more I try to avoid confrontation.
Yes.
And I just try to just go on about my day.
But it is interesting when you were talking about that to think about, you know, someone like the owner of that store, if he had an interest in selling firewood, he probably would be reaching out and doing his research, but he's just interested in how much money he can make. And you brought this in and that's the only thing on his mind. How much?
I think because a retailer is trained to know that their sales floor is to generate income for them.
Yep.
You know, and shelf space is expensive. So, that's why they spend so much time making their store look nice, making the shelves look full, and, you know, making the layout make some type of sense.
Yeah. And he may have had interest in whether, you know, like the presentation of your bundle, what species of wood, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, the one big looming thing in his mind is how much.
Yeah. How much money, how much can I sell it for? Well, you got to think too, you know, let's go back to that propane can. It all matters on what he's paying for it versus what you sell it for.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's why you notice too, when you walk into like a retail location, the items that are usually on end caps, things that catch your eye, things that are at eye level are usually the ones that bring the biggest return to the retailer. So that's right. Why you see like razor blades and whatever the expensive items, you know, are always at eye level. And then like the cheap stuff that is, you know, like motor oil and stuff, you know, you might see it down by your down by your knees. I'm thinking of like a Dollar General kind of a story, right. You know? Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this. Yes. You didn't get the sale?
No.
Okay. So
well, not yet.
Not yet. Okay. All right. Then this is where I'm going with this. So let's say, you know, at the end of the day, he started thinking about it and he's like, well, you know, maybe firewood bundles wouldn't be a bad idea. But let's say he finds someone else and 6 months from now, that vendor is selling garbage bundles. He remembers you. He calls you up and he says, hey, do you remember me? I have that store that you came into a few months back. Are you still interested in bringing me bundles?
Yeah.
What do you say?
Yeah, I would. I repeat this a lot. I have very high self-esteem. I have no points to make, you know? I would say, yes, I'm your guy. And let's just go forward with the relationship. So I would. But I know of people, you know, that would absolutely not. Once there's, you know, they've been slighted or turned down, that's it. And they move on. that's what I'm saying. I'm results oriented with this kind of stuff. And I think you can see that in a lot of the ways that I operate. But I would just forget about the past and move forward. And I would get that sale and I would be the best supplier that person's ever had.
You wouldn't be now, like, yes, but the price has gone up.
Yeah, the price has gone up, bud.
Sorry, but now the price has doubled.
Now, am I to infer that you would not?
I'm not sure. I may be in that category you were just describing. I recently had a kind of a similar experience, but it's kind of flipped around when I was looking for, and I'm still actually in the process of designing and getting some boxes printed for my mini firewood. And I found a place locally here. I met with them and then just never heard anything back. It's kind of like they just blew me off. Like they didn't take me very seriously. So
yeah,
I'm like, all right, well, one day when you do hear about me and then you come asking how my boxes are, I'm going to tell you where I got them from. And it wasn't you.
I don't know. That to me sounds like a different scenario than a person looking to buy your firewood.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think side with you because that had happened to me very early on. And I had told this story when I was getting everything set up to start operating as Ohio Woodburner. I was on my way to my accountant and on the way was this printing company. And I had some, some PDFs of my flyers and my business cards. And I was stopping to see if they could print some of them up for me. And the lady, okay, she was polite, but she made it clear that they would not want to deal with someone small like me. and it was like one of these, go away. And when you get big enough, come back.
Yeah.
And it was a deflating moment for me. I think, you know, I speak about this in other episodes with how vulnerable you are when you have this beautiful idea. And that's why I'm now telling people quit asking for other people's opinions. You know, if it's good enough for you, then it's good enough and go for it, you know? And I was at a point when I still remember when I left that parking lot, I felt dumb. And instead of turning left to head on down to my accountants, I almost turned right and went home.
Went home.
And, and that is what, you know, that type of matter had did to me. Now that I am big and I'm doing pretty good, I wouldn't even consider those guys.
Right.
Absolutely would not. And, you know, and in the meantime, I've already found another printer who I think just blows these people away. You know?
Yeah. I've had similar situations where that moment is not deflating for me. It's more like motivating and it actually drives me and makes me want to just, you know, not so much like come back and throw it in the person's face, but just, you know, people notice things. And I've had a few encounters with people in the firewood industry that from years back, you know, kind of like threw that doubt, kind of doubted me and was like, who the hell are you? You know? And then now it's like, hey,
I remember. So if you need a pay-per-view event and you can tell everyone who it was.
But I think kind of like to your message, you know, like people, like if it's good enough for you, that's all it takes. And I think a lot of people sometimes, if you do get denied, use it for motivation.
And yeah. Then
someday you'll have that moment to hand out the receipts.
Yeah, I think so. I do believe that the best way to live, you know, if you've been done wrong, if you've been fired from a job, if you got dumped by your boyfriend or your girlfriend, you know, the best thing to do is to live well and to let that be motivation, to, you know, to stick it back in their face in a positive way, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And not seeking out, like not, don't seek out and try to, you know, do it. They'll find out. You focus on what you're doing and people will notice and people will remember.
I think it is a great motivation and I think it's a positive way to live.
Yep.
But, you know, I think too that there'll come a time when the motivating incident doesn't really even matter anymore.
No.
You know? You're just so far beyond it. I do see that. There's a lot of people that woe is me and they sit around, they complain, blame others and blame the boogeyman, you know, and, you know, like secret societies that's holding me down kind of stuff. When really you have the keys, man. Go for it. Get it going.
Yeah. Uh-huh. One day you'll just be standing there and look over your shoulder and see that green propane tank and be like, there it is. There's the moment.
Yeah.
All changes.
And then I'll just rage all over the guy, call him a ripoff. If I have to listen to it, you do too. Yeah. Wow. Bad rage. Are you a road rager?
No, I'm seldom on the road. I work from home.
Which explains why.
but I have gone through that at some points in my life where I used to have to be on the road a lot. Like I would notice that I was kind of had a tendency for a road rage every now and then.
Really? You would initiate it?
No, I wouldn't initiate. Well, I mean, I guess I wouldn't act on it, but I would know, like I had thoughts in my mind. And there were probably some words said that no one heard while I was driving.
I have a theory about road rage. It's like I learned it from deer hunting. You never hear of like rage in the woods during deer season. I think that the distance being removed from the probability of getting socked in the nose is inversely related to how angry you react to another person. I think that's why there's road rage.
Yep.
Yeah. I had been involved in a recent road rage incident.
Oh no.
I was. And I'm very mild mannered. I am results oriented when I drive, you know. I don't care anymore. You know, you always get cut off in this and that. Who cares? Good gosh. But I was pulling out across a very busy, well, it was supposed to be a very busy four lanes, both directions with a center turning lane. And I was turning left and there's no one coming. And I'm pulling out. My plan is to get into the center turning lane and blend into the left lane. way, way, way down was a pickup truck in the right lane. And as I pulled out, I have it on camera, by the way, so I'm not making this up. The guy gets into the left lane and he floors it and he speeds up and he gets right next to me, preventing me from merging into the left lane. So I, have I told you before that my white truck is the fastest vehicle I've ever owned? Man, is this thing fast. So here I am now. I am asserting my truck's horsepower.
Uh-oh.
And I just floor it and I am drag racing this guy down this main road and I'm in the center turning lane and there's like salt and rocks flying up in the air and I just smoke this guy, just dusted him, man. And I pass him, I get all the way into the right lane and I go on about my business. So this turkey pulls up next to me and rolls his window down and starts screaming at me.
Oh,
and
no.
All I told him was, is that he is upset that he just got dusted by a truck with a half a load of firewood in it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was my road rage incident.
Wow.
I cannot think of ever instigating a road rage incident. It's just not on my list of things to do.
Yeah, no, even, yeah, back in my days of traveling a lot, I would never instigate, but I would react.
Uh-huh.
If I was, you know, part of something.
Yeah, I have to admit that. I've told a number of people that they're number one.
Oh, yeah.
But I've never instigated it, though. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do believe, I know a lot of people that are road ragers, and I see how it spills into the rest of their lifestyle. And when I was in retail, and the way that some of the customers, okay, you know, no matter what happens, there's always going to be a time where you're upset as a customer and you want your money back, you know? And that's where I think this results-oriented lifestyle can pay off, because people need to ask themselves, what do you want? Do you want your money back, or do you want to ruin the person's day working behind the counter? You know, because in my opinion, you can't have both. If you're screaming and spitting and hollering, you're not going to get your money back, you know? But if you want your money back, if you're just friendly but persistent, you'll get it back.
Yeah.
I think 100% of the time. But it's the people that want to do both, I think, are the ones that cause trouble for themselves. And then They're also probably road ragers.
Yep. People who want it all.
Yeah. And then, like, I used to drive with this one guy from work. He was a road warrior, man. I still remember the day we were driving down the highway. There was no one else on the road except one car in the left lane. And all he had to do was keep driving in the right lane and just pass him and just go on about his business. But he'd get right up behind this guy in the left lane and just ride his bumper and make that guy move into the right lane so he could pass him on the left.
Oh, good stuff. Yeah. Yep.
Rage. We need to have a episode on firewood rage.
I think we kind of just did, didn't we? I mean,
you think?
Well, propane rage.
Propane rage. What a ripoff.
What a ripoff. Yep.
Yeah. I should have waited for someone to buy one. I should have went up to him and I would say, you shouldn't buy that. You know, you can get 200 gallons at, you know, $2.20 a gallon.
Or what are the ones for, like, the standard for the grills that they have at, like, gas stations? At 20 gallons?
Yeah, they're like 20 pounds.
Yeah, those are like $20. Yeah.
Yeah, I just got mine filled up for $12.95.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Shoot. Still a ripoff.
Oh, my God. As soon as we're done with this episode, I'm going back down there.
You better. I was going to say, I think you need closure.
Uh-huh. I'm going to be the ripoff police here. Hey, if I have to put up with it, so does he.
That's right. If you have to look at one every day in the mirror, you need to identify more ripoff artists.
Right. All right. Well, Dan, I just wanted to get that off my chest. I just carried that rage for about 4 days now.
That's
and I
good.
Feel so much better.
Yeah. Well, yeah, especially since it was hidden so well. I mean, yes. I would have never guessed you were raging inside like you were.
I'd make a good poker player. You can never see what's going on inside my brain.
Well, I thought that was just because usually there's not much.
Yeah, very little. You've been talking to my wife, I see.
Yeah. All right. Well, Shall I strike it up?
I think you should. Why don't you strike up the band?
The band, yep. Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to go outside and stand in ankle-deep water.
Nice.
Yeah, bad rain, boy.
Woo. Ooh. Well, April showers.
Yeah, bring May showers. Yeah. Here in Ohio. That's Ohio right. is a Indian word which means rain.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for tuning in to another episode here on the Woodhounds, the number one firewood podcast in the world.
That's right. And we want to thank you all for helping us become that. And please, regardless of the streaming service that you're listening to, please find where the rating is and give us a 5-star rating. It does help us out a lot. All right, Dan, I'm going to tell you to stay
cool
and don't
rage
and have
a great day.